Hi, welcome to the Hip Hop African Podcast, recorded live in the Department of African Studies on the campus of Howard University in Washington, D.C. Welcome back to the Hip Hop African Podcast. This is Msia Kibona Clark. In this episode, we're going back to East Africa to the country of Tanzania. This is a rather lengthy episode of the podcast. And so within the podcast show notes, you'll have kind of a table of contents, which will show you where to go to listen to certain segments. So right now, this is the intro to the podcast, followed by a couple songs from the artists that we're interviewing today, followed by the interview, and then closing out with another song by the artist. And so you'll see where those are in the podcast and the notes if you kind of wanted to perhaps get more into the interview or listen to some of the songs or what have you, just as a marker of where things are. So like I said, we're going back to East Africa, and we're going to Tanzania. Now, when you look at hip hop in Africa, Tanzania has been a country that has been written about extensively in terms of their hip hop culture, in terms of the hip hop community that evolved there. Now, we talked about kind of an overview of African hip hop or hip hop in Africa, where we found that Senegal and South Africa were the first to establish hip hop crews. Well, in Tanzania, they weren't far behind. So the Tanzanian hip hop community really emerged in the late 80s, early 90s. Artists were from the very beginning performing in both Swahili and English, and all the major elements came to Tanzania. First in Dar es Salaam and then spreading to other cities, especially the city of Arusha, which is in northern Tanzania. Like in other countries, hip hop in Tanzania went through an imitation phase, and many of the early artists followed what they saw on TV. But that kind of fizzed. You saw artists really embracing hip hop culture and using it to express local realities. Today, there are a small number of Tanzanian MCs that perform in English, but most Tanzanian artists still continue to perform in Swahili. Now, like I said, the hip hop community and hip hop scene in Tanzania has been a topic of several publications, writings, articles. So I'm just going to touch on some of the major publications that have come out on hip hop in Tanzania. Alex Perullo was one of the early authors to write on hip hop in Tanzania. And he has a few pieces. One, Hooligans and Heroes, Youth Identity and Hip Hop in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. He also wrote Live from Dar es Salaam, Popular Music in Tanzania's Music Economy. And he wrote Imitation and Innovation in the Music, Dress, and Camps of Tanzanian Youth. Another major piece was Sidney Lumel's Niwapi Tunakwenda, Hip Hop Culture and the Children of Arusha. You also had Mwenda Ntuagri, who wrote the book East African Hip Hop, Youth Culture, and Globalization, which focused on the East African region, including Tanzania, Kenya, and Uganda. In 2012, Costco wrote From Music to Politics, Hip Hop in Africa as a Political Option for the Youth, The Case of Tanzania. Royster John in 2014 wrote Antivirus, The Revolt of Bongo Flavor Artists Against a Media and Entertainment Empire in Tanzania. I've also written a few pieces on hip hop in Tanzania, including Hip Hop and Social Commentary in Accra and Dar es Salaam, The Struggle for Authenticity and Against Commercialization in Tanzania, and Gender Representations Among Tanzanian Female MCs. Now, one of the topics that a lot of the scholars have discussed in terms of Tanzania is kind of the dichotomy between hip-hop and bongo flavor in Tanzania. If you were to Google Tanzanian hip-hop on YouTube, the main results would probably be Bongo Flava songs. And Bongo Flava is kind of a hybrid that mixes R&B, reggae, other sounds. So it's more of a pop music. And then you have kind of the hardcore hip-hop heads that are, you know, more into lyricism and the elements of hip-hop culture. So one of the first major hip-hop crews in Tanzania was Kwanzaa Unit, which has often been discussed in the literature, including the publications I just mentioned. Kwanzaa Unit is often cited as not only one of the first major hip-hop crews, but many of the members are often sought after for interviews regarding the early days of hip-hop in Tanzania, the founding of hip-hop in Tanzania. At their height in the mid-1990s, Kwanzaa Unit had about 5 main members, but they also had several MCs that were affiliated with Kwanzaa Unit. So founding Kwanzaa Unit members, KBC and Zavara, aka Rhymeson, have remained vocal and involved in Tanzanian hip-hop culture. This episode features a conversation with KBC and Zavara. In this episode, we talk about the early days of hip-hop in Tanzania, as well as some of the major figures and events that influenced hip-hop in Tanzania. We also discuss the influence of Tanzania's first president, Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, or Baba wa Taifa, which means Father of the Nation. KBC and Zavara credit Nyerere with having a large influence on the social consciousness in Tanzanian hip-hop, especially the level of Pan-Africanism members of Kwanzaa Unit had. Nyerere was a Pan-Africanist, and Tanzania under Nyerere's leadership became a refuge to several freedom fighters from Southern Africa, as well as diaspora communities outside of Africa. So you had South African freedom fighters, ANC or African National Congress members, coming to Tanzania, being given land and space within which to operate. And so Tanzania was kind of one of the leading countries in fighting for Southern African liberation. There are also several members of the diaspora who either came to Tanzania to live or visited Tanzania. So you have Charlotte and Pete O'Neill, two members of the Black Panther Party that are still living in Tanzania, northern Tanzania. You also had people like Walter Rodney, who spent time in Tanzania. Of course, Walter Rodney wrote the book, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. Malcolm X has come through Tanzania. Che Guevara came through Tanzania. You also had the 6th Pan-African Congress taking place in 1974 in Tanzania. And so all of this had a big impact on hip-hop artists, the youth in Tanzania, their views of their place in terms of the Pan-African world, their views on Africans from other parts of the continent, from the diaspora. So within the conversation, we talk a lot about that. We also talk about the importance of language and Kwanzaa Unit's decision to really begin performing exclusively in Swahili, whereas before they were performing mostly in English. The conversation also talks about the current state of hip-hop in Tanzania and the views of KBC and Zavara on what's going on in hip-hop in Tanzania today. Finally, the conversation discusses censorship laws in Tanzania, as well as the National Arts Council, or BASATA, Baraza la Sanaa la Taifa, and their policies around copyright and royalties. Now, parts of the conversation are in Swahili. Swahili is the official language in Tanzania. Government documents, national newspapers, all in Swahili. It's very important to note that Swahili is not attached to any specific ethnic group. It's one of the things that makes it really important, an important tool for people to kind of transcend ethnic divisions. And so Tanzanians are very, very proud of Swahili and speaking Swahili and having an African language with which to communicate anywhere in the country. So parts of the conversation are in Swahili. Something that Zavara was, you know, was his idea. He felt, and I think we all agreed, that it would make the conversation more accessible to Swahili speakers. But non-Swahili speakers will also be able to follow the conversation. And we've made attempts to summarize the Swahili portions into English, albeit often relying on my Swahili skills, which are decent, but not fluent. And so hopefully for the Swahili speakers, you'll agree I did a good job in summarizing. And for the non-Swahili speakers, you know, kind of bear with us and you'll be able to follow the conversation and kind of what we're talking about. So we're going to start off by playing two songs by Kwanzaa Unit. The first is Put Your Head Up, and the second song is Msafiri, which is kind of personally my favorite Kwanzaa Unit song. It's a song I've always really loved. So those are the two songs we're going to play at the beginning. And then at the end of the episode, we're going to play Runtings, which is a very popular Kwanzaa Unit classic song, followed by Check Nav Your Flow, which is also a popular Kwanzaa Unit song. And then we're going to end the episode with So Why. So I'm going to do my kind of closing now. So like I usually say, thank you, you know, for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation. As always, if you want to leave feedback, please do so at feedback@hiphopafrican.com. Please go on iTunes and rate us. We're, you know, definitely trying to get the podcast some visibility, get feedback, get, you know, kind of community participation, folks to engage with the podcast. So you can do that by rating us on iTunes, as well as leaving comments on the blog, hiphopafrican.com, and sending us feedback at using the email address feedback@hiphopafrican.com. Thanks.
I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. Put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. Put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. Rod. Put your head out on one row to grab a load of this funky track and get it pumped up your back. It's nice and smooth, and yes, the kind of groove to prove. A brother from the hook up on a sensible move. Now check it out, niggas on the clock and get props and snaps and record shops without doubt. Don't get me wrong, it's not a story of being fat and glory, but if you let yourself fall, you'll be sorry. You gotta stand up and make your way to the top. Make the people wanna hop and make sure you don't drop.
Drop.
Get your ass paid and laid. Get a dreading that fade. And a maid who also gets paid by a satisfied mother. None other than the brother that took the right turn to avoid getting burned. So check me out and hit me out. Cause there's a lesson to be learned. To any man in mind, I'm more cause it's everyone's concern.
I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. I put your hat on the rider, put your hat on ya. Yeah.
Chicken and check the word from your brother. Would you bother? I'd rather have your life blown like a clone into the bigger, the egg of the ashes. The wisdom touch flashes, selector of the trashes. And as it rain, the dub instrumental. I'm never temperamental. I dominate the funky, funky group. And I move to pro. I thought I made up the whole van. And it's the wild thing. See, bigger, the bigger, the dome. A bake up, a slake up, a beat a man. Get yourself together and go for what you want. And as a nigga with a peace of mind, a beat a what a tragedy. So let's get busy. I swing it dead easy. A D, I say easy. Or DZ, it is a fucking beat. It's a hard dude, but never rude. This is our fit when I pop on a blunt. Yeah, keep it track straight. Don't wait for a bait in the pole. Grab a toe, snuff it to a plate of foe. Cause life take turns, no matter how it runs. Even to the nuns, gotta stick to your plunge. I think like a computer, the tricks like the prosecutor. But don't you ever be a looter, a looter. I once was a shooter, but got nothing, got a big border. So now I'm a funk alligator, and sooner or later, I'ma call it quits. So bring in the funky, funky, funky car.
Yeah.
Put your hat on, ya. I 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 put your hat on, ya. Right. Biggity biggity, kick up into Fianco, Wakika. Na biggity biggity, Kwanza, come the Kwanza, Kore, Teka. Na boguta boguta, boom, 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 boguta boguta, boguta boguta, sina. O kitaka kone pema, si baba hema hema, kitaka koko chuma, ha, no, no, rumma, kope. Na hek, na hek, na hek, yo, se pende, kome, kek, rete, wakek. I kept a cup,
Safiri bado niko njiani. kazi la udongo ndani futi sita vita kila tu tisa kati ya kumi dhidi ya hali duni naelekea nchi ya ughaibuni nimezungukwa na dhoruba chapa gawa sioni rasi wala ghuba ya Allah ja Jehova chulia roho zinavyoangamia hali ya hewa imechafuka giza la uficho takatifu kote sioni kitu mateso bila chuki mkushi bado stuki wapi yupi lini stazma wende shule jibu lake lipo mjini mbele songa yawezi kachunjo sambaya mjomba nisa leta mvuto msuko suko pamoja na mabala ya lozaka nyuzi mia tatu stini chief ransom makini wala sichoki wajihi wangu mipasporti ubongo visa kwele nalipa mapinduzi fikra usawa huu ufatu uko kwa deko juu nine jazi lijedwali dash dash numerali zinapo ganyo bila tahadhari farasi mutukari bunda aungamia yote bie kama meweka nia we mkwanza nia
lianza na kwanza nilikuwa msema hadi hisi semi tena rapsi rabi tena maovu ndo yameja hakuna mema niite zomba taka kupiga bunda duniani kama utoni na utanoto za peponi na mwana shetani aniuliza we nani na nataka nini pesa magari na majumba ya kifahari njoo nifuate mimi na kuwa makini yo nakwenda kwa kasi lakini naona giza we napiga yowe nasonga mbele litakalo kuwa naliwe niko mwenyewe katikati nyuma mbali mbele mbali na kutana na mambo mengi ili mbadi tu hatari unyama hakuna utu night kali midali na aliali sheli wakati hatuna kitu safari ni ndefu yo kama majeshi na mitutu mazungu na makapu wazi mana wafu e Mungu walaze pema peponi yami na walio tuwacha katika safari tutaona na tena kama ilivyo sema mwisho tutarudi tena kwanza yue na tiki kiki vipi mbona tufiki
mimi msafiri bado niko njiani sijui lini nitafika naulizia watu kule ninako kwenda sijui lini nitafika
kafiri ubatizo msafiri dira upeo wakili hauna sili utajiri kabla tafsiri tasbihi tafakari tafadhali nini ujanja duniani zaidi kusoma fika buroma fanya kama wafanya vorumi himaya hii ni ya kwenzani ya zwote karibuni mgeni siku kwanza ya pili mpe jembe ya kalime haya shime haya shime vicha hivi sivya rungu mkuki wala sime na kana shitaka luto safari ndo kwanza imeanza waze wa baraza mahakim mjaji na wanda jim wanafalsafa wakufuzi na walim maprofesa ndani ya elim ya psikolojia watawa ndani ya parokia mandiko maku kurani taurati na biblia fuata kweli na funguro ya inaposhia hii safari mabonde majabali na milima minafuata maji ya uzima tiba kitinda mimba hakika mtashinda vitu na thamani sio kipimo dhahabu na almasi enzi za mashimo ya mfalme Suleiman yote yamebaki hadithi na huko nchi ya Misri umungu mtu lishe mshinda firauni pole wako useme rapu huni hadithi na ndugu za rubaki makini fanya tathmini toka tisini.
Alright, so okay, I met you guys in 1996, and by that time Kwanzaa Unit had already been established. You guys were already kind of major influences on the hip-hop scene and hip-hop culture. But how did you guys come together? Because you guys were individual artists before, right?
I mean, we'll both be contributing to the story. Mm-hmm. How we started, everyone started individually. So definitely everybody has their own story on what exact time did they start. But we were rivals crew between me and Zavara. We were rival crews. I was from a crew called, first I was a solo MC, and then I met up, my first crew was called Raiders Party. And it was me, Nico One, and James Wamba, and DJ Cox, and DJ Wiz Mwamba. Mm-hmm. And then, so we were just going, you know, every location in the city, look, you know, if we hear anybody who's also doing hip hop or they rapping, we're just on the battle mode, basically. Back then it was more of the show and prove, like, so you have to prove yourself that you're actually authentic. And so that was the movie. We are confident we're the illest around, and there's no any other crew that's really doing the authentic hip hop. We used to look at most people like they just wanna be. They wanna be. So you have to prove yourself that you're not a wannabe, you're the real deal. And we came across Ramson at that time before Zavara with his crew. That was on it was there was a rehearsal for a rap concert that was organized, I think, by Richie Dillon. Is that correct, Baba?
One that vision was Goja. Alikuwa, Kina Dillon and Corny.
Yeah. And Corny, yeah. So we meet up, and then we do a bunch of different crews. But of course, on my side, I'm standing by my crew. I think it's the illest. But that was the first time we see different people. Like, okay, he's nice. He's this. Is that. And who's looking to be your threat, and then we continue with the challenge. Like, okay, you guys ain't it, you guys are this and that, and we got into a very heated battle between my crew and Ramstone's crew, and unfortunately that was never documented. There was no videos or video cameras or whatever, and so from there on we knew of them, they knew of us, but we were still rivals for quite some time. And I remember one time I went away, I think it was 92 or something. When I came back, Savara and everyone decided that they just gonna diffuse all these rivalry and just put all the authentic crews together to be the one crew with all the authentic crew members and be Kwanzaa in it. So I had to, and then come back home and be Zavara no more now to be my crew. And so we went off from there to history together. So.
Okay. All right.
Mimi, sasa, mimi nilianza kama msanii solo peke yangu. Alafu, sababu kulikuwa tuna mashindano mbalimbali ya rap. Ikawa moja ya mashindano ambayo yalikuwa mazuri na muhimu. Nilishauriwa siwezi kushiriki mpaka niwe na kundi. Na wakati huo ulikuwa na rafiki zangu mbalimbali ambao tulikuwa tuna chana pamoja, kina MC Edi, kina Nyuni au Nigga Bass, kina PG, Remy MC na wengineo. Sasa, sababu tulikuwa tuna kuenda mashindano mbalimbali, kulikuwa na mashindano Kimara, Florida 2000. Sasa Kim, Wakim and the Boys, alikuwa anafanya mashindano, alikuwa kufanya mashindano la Ngata, alafu baadaye akafanya mashindano mengine ambayo nadhani hayo alishinda Dika Sharp siku za nyuma, lakini wakati huo sana ilikuwa inaendelea, watu walikuwa wanafanya watu walikuwa wanafanya
Kimo was part of that but he didn't own it.
Okay, sawa. Sasa kukawa na vitu vingi vya hip-hop vinaendelea. Kwa mfano, kulikuwa kipindi hiki, season muhimu inayokumbukwa ni picnics. Picnics na graduation ni sehemu ambako watu ndo wanaenda kuchana. Sasa, mimi kabla sijaanza kuchana, nilikuwa nachana tu mtaani. Sasa, rafiki yangu mmoja ambaye you know too well, labda umemsahau sasa, his soul and peace. Gadi, Gadi's brother, Dula, who also passed, MAP. Alikuwa ni breakdance artist. Alikuwa anacheza mabreaker siku nyingi. Kwa hiyo mashindano yote mabreaker kabla ya rap, tuko tunaenda. Hata mimi nimeshiriki mawili matatu. Msasani Beach, wapi. Sasa Dula, kila tukirudi nyumbani kutoka kwenye picnic na nini, ananiambia tunamuona Corny Ways, ana grab mic, anachana, tunamuona Fresh X, mara nyingine, mara tunamuona nani, mara baadaye ndio kina K. Sasa akaananiambia, wewe mbona unachana huku tu mtaani, kwa nini uendi huko, kwa nini usifanye kule tukienda kwenye ma graduation au kwenye ma picnic. Ndiyo yeye akanipa motivation, bwana, you can, na watu wengine mtaani. Kwa hiyo akasema, poa labda. Kwa hiyo, baada ile motivation yake, ndiyo tukaanza tukienda kwenye picnics na his events, nikaanza kufanya. Ndio mwishowe tulipopata nafasi ya mashindano, nikaanza kushiriki kwenye mashindano. Ndio baadaye tukaanza kukutana na kina K na kina Wani, na kama alivyoeleza K yale mashindano, kwanza mashindano kati ya kundi letu, nilivyoanzisha ile Villain Gangster ni kwa sababu ya kushiriki mashindano ya Kim ambayo alikuwa anafanya mara kwa mara. Sasa ndio nikajumuika na MC Eddie na GOD, mtu mwingine anaitwa GOD, sasa hivi anaishi Marekani, Texas. Sio Texas, sio Texas, somewhere in Marekani. Dallas, yeah. Wao kwa sababu yule MC Eddie alikuwa sio anachana tu, pia ni DJ. Alafu GOD pia alikuwa DJ, wote walikuwa na vinyl na wanapata sana miziki kutoka nje. Kwa hiyo tunakaa pamoja, tuna Eddie alikuwa na regular gigs, anapiga mara nyingine Kurasini, alafu anapiga Kigamboni. Kwa hiyo kila nikoenda like instrumentals tunaachana.
Yeah, I used to meet up with Eddie on clubs and I think I met him Mwananyamala one time.
Ndio na Mwananyamala alikuwa anaenda.
Yeah.
Sasa hiyo ndio ikaanzisha VG, na VG ikaendelea story, kukutana na watu wengine na nini, lakini kwa kifupi ni hivyo mwanzoni. Lakini mimi kingine ambacho labda ningependa kugusia kilichonihamasisha zaidi, kwa kweli kaka yangu alikuwa mtu wa mabreaker, ukiachia hata kabla akina duo. Sasa alikuwa wakati anafanya mazoezi kwenda kwenye mashindano, nilikuwa nasikiliza zile kanda, nasikia nani vipande vya rap kwenye zile old tapes, Boogaloo, Sugar Hill Gangs na nyingine. Kwa hiyo nikawa napenda sana ninavyosikia zile, na mimi imenichukua muda sana kujua kwa nini ilikuwa inanivutia. Mwanzo nilikuwa sijui kwa nini napenda hii kuliko zile za kuimba, nikaja kugundua baadaye ile wanivochana wale Fat Boys na Run DMC na wengine inafanana sana na ngonjera. Sio, okay. Unajua ngonjera?
Ngonjera.
Yeah.
No, sijui.
Ngonjera is a Swahili poetry, but the way you recite it, it sounds exactly like
the spoken word.
MC, like the way, like the flow is almost like the way running old school, the same patterns and flow, like old Fat Boys or some part of the Sugar Hill Gang, the early MCing style.
Yeah, the early hip hop, old school hip hop style.
Sasa uh-huh. Ngonjera inasikika kama vile mimi fulani bendi fulani nafanya nene iko kama hivyo, lakini sikumbuki sasa hivi kufanya. Kwa hiyo ikawa inavutia sana. Hiyo ndio moja ya sababu mimi nilipenda sana rap.
Okay. Yeah. So from what you said, that all these elements, there were people kind of doing all these elements, involved in b-boying, involved in MCing, DJing. And so with that, how...
To be honest, like, this is one thing that never get documented a lot in terms of people don't speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hip-hop came in the form of b-boying. Like, it went full circle when we came around with, like, once we got attracted to the MC element, but the b-boy element was there, like, since the 80s. Mm-hmm. The 80s, I remember, like, there used to be rivals crews from Oyster Bay battling with Upanga crews, battling with Ilala crews. There were some blows, they were literally fights. And they had like turfs, you cannot walk on this side. These stories are there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was mostly the DJs. So then again, I'll take you back maybe to the DJ. It wasn't like a hip hop DJ, it was more like a club DJ, like the sound system kind of DJ.
disco era.
And then, yeah, so that one went back to like late 70s.
Okay, so let me ask this. With hip-hop being so popular and like really being embraced, all these different elements, how much of a connection do you think the youth made to Black culture in America? So was it more like this is a hot new thing, or how conscious were people of this is kind of connected to Black culture, a culture of resistance?
Mi naona kuna yote mawili. Kwa sababu, unajua Tanzania, wakati ule, turudi nyuma wakati wa DJ, Tanzania kulikuwa hakuna TV. Mm-hmm. Lakini utamaduni wa mjini ambao ndio youth culture au trends zilikuwa zinapatikana kwa filamu, sinema zilikuwa hizi sinema unaita leo black exploitation. Mm-hmm. Na kulikuwa na big wave ya watu sailors, seamen, watu walikuwa wanasafiri kwenda nje wakirudi ndio wanaleta fashion za mavazi, design. And hiyo ilileta hata element, kulikuwa na element fulani ya graffiti, lakini ilikuwa inachorwa mitaani kwa mkaa. Hiyo mabaharia walikuwa wanaandika kwenye vichochoroni, wanaandika majina yao, baharia so and so came back, so and so is back in town, so and so is in your area, vitu kama hivyo wanaandika. Sasa ule mchanganyiko wa zile black exploitation ulifanya watu wakajua, kuna watu wako kama sisi kule Marekani. Unaona nani, Jim Brown, Jim Kelly, Freddie Williamson, watu walikuwa na embrace. Mimi kuna wengine leo tulikuwa wadogo wendi sinema, lakini kaka yangu alikuwa na uwezo kukusimulia sinema yote. My brother could tell you movie from the whole 90 minutes, sometimes more. Kwa sababu ana narrate kwa Kiswahili, lakini anakuelezea, you see, I'd never gone at that time when I was little. Lakini anakaa, anakuelezea ni sinema. Kwa hiyo unamuona kabisa Freddie Williamson, kwa sababu picha ziko pale Empire, ukipita nje unaona yule. Alafu baadaye ukienda sasa ulipokuwa mkubwa, ukiona movie, unapata kujua aha. Kwa hiyo that kwenda kwenye DJ, watu tayari walikuwa washajua kuna utamaduni wa watu weusi Marekani, na pia fashion ambayo ni cool, watu walikuwa wanapenda afro. Ilivyokuja nakumbuka mambo ya Pecos ndio zinaondoka wakati wa disco era. Sijui unafahamu Pecos? Sio
Pecos.
Still, yeah. Huko anahitaji Marekani. Labda
you know the platforms and
belly buttons, you kitu gani?
Okay, tight. Like bell bottom like pants.
Like bell bottom pants, yeah.
Okay.
Ambazo wide at the bottom, like, right?
Okay. So wait a minute, let me just come back up. So so folks who may not understand Swahili. So basically what you're saying is because there wasn't TV during that time in Tanzania, so people found out or were exposed through other ways. So one of those ways of understanding and finding out about Black culture was through film, especially the Black exploitation films. And so people were able to see that there were people who looked just like them in America, and they started to learn and about Black culture and be fascinated by it. But then also some of the Black sailors and people who were working, I guess, you know, through the embassy or in the military, were also coming in and bringing their fashion, their styles, their music. And so young people were also exposed to it that way.
Not a military fear. It's most of the time where people, seamen who used to work like in ships that travel the world.
Oh, okay.
So whatever culture they come across, they'll come back with. But another thing, like more that I want to add on that is Tanzania has always been from independence, and it's always been on the forefront of black people's rights, or the pan-Africanism. Mm-hmm. So even as a young age of our country, we've always been supporters of the freedom for freedom fighters, and we connect with black folks everywhere, and they know about the same way we know the oppression of South Africa back then. And we were pro liberation on any on any country out there. So they do recognize that there's racism towards the black folks in America. They understand all that. So it's, we know, like, that's our kinfolk. They know the history, the real history, how the people got there. And plus, as the years go by, we in every country we know who we were, we were close to, maybe we have relations to. Now, Tanzania, they never used to have relations with, like, America that close. It's just that they have the embassy, but we never had. Yeah, so like Ramson said, there are so many ways of connecting with them. We know that there's a black community out there, we know what they're going through the news and through everything. But how do we know how they live or what they're about? Through movies and documentaries, then that came through the film media, and then the music and the fashion trends that come by. So back then, we know, like, the black folks in America are the coolest people, like Fred Williamson, Jim Kelly, and whatever. So things of that nature. For the young ones, that's how they could study the African American culture through these mediums before the TVs came by and whatnot. But as far as the connection, because you have to build the connection with the black culture, I think that started, we look at them as, okay, these are people who are suffering because they were shipped over there years ago. Now they live through this and this and that. And we even learn how to speak like them, because when it comes to that cool thing, now people like to emulate what they do because these are the cool brothers out there, kind of a thing. So it's all of the above, to answer your question. Yes, you recognize them, but plus it was a cool thing too. When it comes to music, whenever the trends would change, whether from disco or to this to that, we always change with it. And we are learned. We know about James Brown, we know about Muhammad Ali. The whole world was fond of Muhammad Ali. And so, yeah, Michael Jackson, all that.
Okay. So, Nina, do you think, because one of the things that you said is, in terms of looking at, you guys had an awareness of what was going on in America, but you were also aware of what was going on in places like South Africa. How much do you think that was because of Nyerere and how Tanzania was such an important part of liberation struggles in Southern Africa? There were a lot of African Americans that came to Tanzania. Do you think that that played a role in that?
I think it played a part a lot, because that's where it starts. And then as you go, because at that time we were kids, but we see these things through our parents or what they talk about, the stories or what. Because remember, in a country like this, every content that comes in has to be scanned back then. At least now people can just get it. But then all these movies that we used to see, it's not a coincidence that we used to see Fred Williamson on our movie theaters, or Jim Kelly movies on our movie theaters, you know, or James Brown songs being played on a national radio. You know, it wasn't a coincidence. It's obvious that they were following that. Like, Marlene Guerrero definitely had a James Brown final in there, or Isaac Hayes and all. And when they do their parties, we hear these collections and these movies. So I think it has a lot to do with that.
Okay.
Kingine mimi nitaka kuongezea kwenye hiyo ni kwa sehemu nyingine ambayo Kay hakuitaja imetupita kidogo, ni kwamba ukiachia wale mabaharia ambao ilikuwa ni big movement ambayo ilikuwa kwa sababu za kiuchumi, watu ilibidi wasafiri waende nje kufanya kazi kwenye meli. It was like a big wave, sio small number. Kila kitu ilikuwa na mabaharia, and it was like a cool thing to be part of. Lakini pia kulikuwa na watu ambao tunaishi nao ambao pia ni wa Marekani, na mmoja wapo ni huyo member wa Riders Posse, James Wamba, ni Marekani. Kwa hiyo ilikuwa pia hiyo ni namna nyingine ya kujua habari za Marekani, kwa sababu ni watu ambao tunacheza nao. Tunafahamu familia mbalimbali ambazo zilikuwa familia ambazo tulikuwa tunaishi nazo, wengine wako shuleni nao, wengine marafiki tu. Kwa hiyo tayari kulikuwa na ile ufahamu kuhusu Marekani na kitu kinachoendelea. Alafu kuhusu Mwalimu Nyerere na kukaribisha watu kwenye harakati za ukombozi, ile imeleta sana political awareness kwa watu wengi, kwa sababu radio ilikuwa ni moja tu. Kwa hiyo unasikia habari hizo wakati wote kwamba Tanzania ndio center for ile independence ya Southern, walikuwa wanaita nini, mstari wa mbele katika ukombozi wa Afrika, walikuwa makao makuu ni Tanzania, Dar es Salaam. Kwa hiyo tunakutana na watu Afrika Kusini, kutoka Namibia, Msumbiji, Zimbabwe, wote walikuwa pale. Kwa hiyo tunafahamu kuhusu Biko, Lumumba, na nyimbo zimeimbwa kuhusu hao watu. Kwa hiyo ni vitu ambavyo Mwalimu ameweka msingi mzuri kwa Tanzania kufahamu mambo ya harakati za mtu mweusi duniani, au pana ule wanaita umajumui Afrika au pan Africanism.
Okay. All right, so let me just kind of try to summarize that. So basically, in the first, one of the first things you said, that James Wamba, who was, and you know, a lot of people have talked about his involvement early on. So James Wamba is, you know, mom's African American, father is Congolese, but he grew up in Tanzania, and he also was involved in, you know, the early days of hip hop. A lot of his friends, like you guys, were involved in hip hop. And so he was also kind of one way that people were able to find out more about African American culture and get involved in hip hop. And then you also, in terms of looking
at... By the time James comes down to Tanzania, people already knew about the African American culture, about hip hop already. But okay, he's a little closer contact. If you have any stereotypes about that kind of life, you know, you don't have to, you know, search far.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sababu nilisema hiyo, samahani kidogo. Sababu nimesema hiyo ni kuonyesha, ukiachia TV, movies na ana vitu vingine, kulikuwa na watu tunawafahamu ambao ni wa Marekani weusi ambao wapo, walikuwepo mjini, na hiyo ilikuwa ina ni moja ya vitu kwamba watu wanajua hawa ni watu kama sisi, na kutokana na kitu kama hicho unakuwa unajua kwamba ni wenzetu hao kwa sababu walikuwepo. Kwa mfano watu waliokuja kama Black Panther, wale walioletwa miaka ya 60 kama kina Mama C, kuna mtu mmoja alikuwa anaishi Kigamboni, alikuwa anaitwa Yusuf, alikuwa mrefu kama ana futi 7 hivi. Sasa huyu Yusuf akiingia kwenye uda inabidi ainame hivi, lakini kwa sababu ni mtu alikuwa na maumbile tofauti kuliko watu wengine, watu wanataka, kila wakimuona wanamshangaa au wanataka kuongea naye, hasa unamsikia anaongea tofauti kidogo, anasema mimi mwenzenu lakini natoka upande fulani. Kwa hiyo hiyo ilileta kufahamu kwamba kumbe kuna watu kama sisi kule, kwa watu ambao walikuwa hawana kabisa habari kama hiyo ya watu wa Marekani zamani. Yeah.
Okay. So so James, like you said, people already knew about hip hop, but one of the things James did, especially, you know, with friends and stuff, it was, you know, have films and other things that kind of highlighted or showed the similarities. But then also Tanzania was a place where a lot of Black revolutionaries from the U.S. went. So people like Mama C, and Pete O'Neill, who are now in Arusha, and other people in the Black Panther Party, other Black liberation activists, were also kind of welcomed into Tanzania. And so you also had that impact on the youth, where they were kind of, you know, seeing these, you know, folks coming in. But then also Nyerere, again, welcome activists. And also on through the radio program, people were able to hear the news and find out that Tanzania was basically a central figure in liberation, especially in Southern Africa. And so you were able to learn about people like Steve Biko and Patrice Lumumba through those things.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then, in terms of language, because I know that when you guys first started out, you were rapping primarily in English. And then later, especially with Msafiri, you guys began to rap primarily in Swahili. What kind of, you know, was the decision? What was the conversation about language, and what role did language play in your music?
That was about Cole, really. One thing about Kwanza is like it's so versatile, because everyone carries a style that's so different. If I speak about myself, I'm more of a, my style is kind of like a swordsman. Technical kind of rhyming, so I'm kind of like technical kind of rhyme, like showing the skills of how to play with the words, metaphor, punchlines, and tantras, so that kind of thing. I enjoy that. So when he came through and said like, why don't we just rap in our own language? I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool, but then I felt like that would take away my swordsmanship away. You know, me and D-Rob were like, you can have that. I mean, you know, you guys can do it, but, you know, and then because Swahili is so lengthy, so I feel like my choppy flow won't be really ready to fit. It wasn't about not liking my language, but it was more about, okay, you're taking something away that I really worked for so many years. And but later on, you know, where he started off, he started doing that, and then I think Freshy, you know, was nice with it as well. But hey, later on, I think I got like probably 4 songs when I did that. After I got the hang of it. It was cool, and it was more meaningful. You know, because the fan base was big over here at home. They understand it more, and half of them till now, like some fans don't really get what people are saying if you throw out a clever wordplay or like double means or whatnot. It's the international fans that will really catch it, or the English speaking fans will catch it. But with the Swahili, they catch it straight away. So it was the right thing to do. I mean, it was a no brainer. And that one is Ransom Cole, and props to Ransom for initiating that.
Sasa unajua kuhusu lugha, nimeanza na mimi kuzama kuandika ilikuwa kwa Kiingereza, na ndio lugha ambayo kila mtu alikuwa anashiriki, na pia tu kama tulivyosema mwanzo kizungu, kila mtu yeye unajua bwana alikuwa anaita Kinyamwezi, sio kila mtu Mnyamwezi, inabidi uchane kwa Kinyamwezi. Unajua watu wote, hii ilikuwa wewe hujui labda msia. Tunaanza kwanza, watu wengi walikuwa nadhani sisi wote tunasoma international school, kwa sababu Adili alikuwa anasoma kule, na kwa hiyo kwa sababu tulikuwa tulivyoanza kujumuika wote, watu wakasema watu wote wanasoma kule. Kukawa na kitu uliuliza hapo kuhusu, kuna kitu uliuliza nadhani kitajibu ili swali. Kwa hiyo kulikuwa na hali kama ya kuonekana kwamba nyinyi ni kama mnaigiza tu Umarekani. Hiyo ilikuwepo wakati fulani, na kwa sababu tulikuwa tunafanya sasa. Lakini mimi nilivutiwa sana, kuna wakati nilisafiri nikaenda Kenya, nikakuta jamaa walikuwa wanaitwa BMW, nadhani wanatoka Mombasa. Ile kundi manake ilikuwa ni Black Most Wanted, walikuwa wanatokea Mombasa. Sasa nikaona jamaa wakati kulikuwa na mashindano, kuna sehemu kulikuwa inaitwa Boomerang, wakawa wanafanya kwa Kiswahili, na nilivutiwa sana jinsi walivyokuwa wanafanya. Kurudi nyumbani, nikawa najua kuna mtu mmoja ambaye alikuwa anachanganya Kiswahili na Kiingereza, Fresh XC. Nikawa najua kuna Fresh G, naye alikuwa ndo kama anatokea baadaye. Lakini kuja kusikiliza pia verse kama 2 au 3 zimeandikwa kamili, alikuja kunisikilizisha Samia X na Mosi rafiki yake, walikuwa walifanya nyimbo fulani kwenye onyesho lao fulani pale IST. Lakini kabla ya ile tulikutana sehemu, akawa amenifanyia hivi, nikaanasikiliza kumbe hii kitu inawezekana hii. Kwa hiyo yeye ikaongeza kama hamasa kwangu, kumbe inawezekana kufanya kwa lugha yetu, lakini inabidi tu kuboresha mitindo. Sasa sio tu lugha ambayo ndio itafurahisha watu wengine, na wakati huu bado hata Kwanza haijao, Kwa hiyo nikawa najaribu kusikiliza watu wanaofanya Kiswahili, lakini nasema tutafanyaje isikike kabisa vile vile kama tunazosikia kwenye wenzetu kutoka Marekani. Kwa hiyo baadaye tulivyofikia kwanza, tulivyoanza nilivyokuwa namsikiliza Fresh alikuwa mtundu sana. Anasikiliza nyimbo za Marekani, alafu anatengeneza ile flow lakini kwa kutumia maneno ya Kiswahili. Kwa hiyo flow ikawa inapatikana. Kwa hiyo nikajua hii kumbe inawezekana kabisa. Si ngumu. Tena inapendeza zaidi. Kwa hiyo nika nashauri watu kama alivyosema K, labda tujaribu kuongeza Kiswahili zaidi. Kwa hiyo zikafanyika nyimbo Amani na nyimbo nyingine. Kwa hiyo Kiswahili kilianza baadaye kabla ya Msafiri. Album ya mwanzo ingawa nyimbo ya mwanzo kabisa single kurekodiwa ya kwanza hiyo ni ya Kizungu. Inaitwa ambayo ni mimi K na X, inaitwa Just Another Groove. Lakini nyingine zikaja zikawa za Kiswahili, na kwa sababu pia D-Rob naye akaingia akaanza kufanya vizuri kwa Kiswahili. D-Rob ana flow vizuri kwa Kiingereza, na D-Rob na K wana sauti zinafanana, wana kama vocal presence fulani, kama iko vocal range na karibiana. Kwa hiyo walivyoanza kufanya zile za pamoja ikawa kama wametengeneza chemistry fulani hivi. Tukaja tukarekodi nyimbo kadhaa. Kwa hiyo ikawa tayari Kiswahili tukifanya show kinapokelewa. Na ikawa basi kilichofuata ni kama ni historia tena. Kila mtu akapenda na mtaani, kila mtu akaanza kuigiza.
Okay. So basically that you guys first began to write in English and people were kind of questioning that and thought that maybe some folks were trying to be American. Is that what I'm in the beginning?
Well, ilikuwa si hiyo si sababu, ni kwamba kulikuwa na tuna fan base nzuri tu ya watu ambao wanakubali, lakini pia kulikuwa na watu ambao wanaona those are just watoto wa IST wale au wanajifanya wa Marekani wale. Wapo pia watu namna hiyo, lakini hao walikuwa waelewi.
They couldn't understand it. So it's like first they were so used to having let's say music from overseas. They just listened to it. And then here comes hip hop, and then they started listening to Cool Moe Dee and whoever. And then a few years later, they see a kid on the local scene just doing the same thing. So to them, like first they didn't believe. They didn't believe like these are rhymes. First they thought it was just an imitation. Besides, everyone started off from imitation. You start off of your favorite MC at that time. You copy their rhymes, and then you learn the craft. And later on, we started writing our own verses. But when we came to writing our own music, still the fans did not believe that's our music. They thought we just using other people's rhymes or whatever, or we just trying hard to be American. So that I think was a great decision to prove them wrong. Like, no, we actually saying something, so we're gonna say in our own language so you can get it.
Okay. All right. And then later on, Zavara, you talk about going to Kenya and meeting the artist BMW, Black Most Wanted, and he was rapping in Swahili, correct?
Yeah, walikuwa wawili kwenye kundi, so mmoja. Na walikuwa na rap ndio kwa Swahili.
Okay. And so then coming back, you also saw more people, coming back to Tanzania, you also saw more people using Swahili, and you began to hear kind of people experimenting with Swahili and it sounding good, and you guys kind of started experimenting with it, and it sounded nice, and you guys basically decided to try it. And you mentioned that, the members of Kwanzaa Unit, all very diverse, very different styles, but you mentioned specifically D-Rob and KBC having kind of the strong vocal presence and, you know, vocal range. And that really kind of worked.
Yeah, kwa wao really. There was a time I knew a song where if you listen from the K start to where D-Rob comes in, you won't even you couldn't tell mm-hmm. who ends where, who started where. So what I was saying was their vocal range and their voicing, when they started to experiment on Swahili pamoja, they created a good chemistry that was heavily accepted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the song, Msafiri, what inspired that song?
Nacheka kwa sababu Msafiri ina story ndefu sana. Msafiri kama ingekuwa kufanyika, ilikuwa ifanyike kwenye album ya pili ambayo ni Tropical Techniques. Kwa sababu likutana na unajua zamani Tanzania wale star unawaona tu kwa unawasikia tu kwenye radio. Sasa kwa mara kwanza nilikutana karibu hivi na Mzee Kiki, ilikuwa kama I just meeting almost like this super model star that I did not believe. Kwa hiyo niko sound crafters na tukawa tunaongea pale, kamuonyesha kwa kiasi gani nimefurahi kukutana naye, na kwamba alivyokuwa mdogo tulikuwa tunamuona alivyokuwa anaenda saba saba, na nikamfahamisha kwamba na sisi sasa hivi tumefanya muziki kidogo lakini kwa tofauti, unahusisha zaidi mashairi, na nani akanisikiliza sema safi. Na nikamwambia unajua katika kazi zenu kuna wimbo fulani mimi naupenda, na kama ingewezekana yeye akatoa ruhusa tufanye upya kwa namna yetu sisi kama kufanya parabati. Akawa amefurahi, amesikiliza, sema sawa. Kwa hiyo akaniuliza unataka nifanyeje kusaidia. Nikamwambia mimi nahitaji tu kama unaweza kunipatia kanda yenye ule wimbo. Akasema sawa. Basi kwa sababu tulikuwa tunakutana mara kwa mara, siku nyingine akaje akaniletea kanda yenye ule wimbo. Kwa hiyo ile kanda nikawa nayo. Sasa kukawa kazi ni kupata mtu ambaye anaelewa wazo lenyewe na anayekubali. Sasa pale yule producer wa pale na ambaye ni engineer, maki sisi tuko tuna produce pia wenyewe lakini mara nyingine tukae kwenye board, hawaturuhusu kushika vyombo, lakini tunawaambia. Kwa hiyo production aspect yetu ilikuwa kama unajua drum inakwenda vipi, bass inakwenda vipi, keys nataka ziende vipi, alafu unamwambia anafanya. Sasa tu kujaribu kumtaka Henrico Soundcrafters kufanya Msafiri, akaelewi na hakukubali. Alikuwa anaona hii hapana, haitawezekana. Ameleta sababu nyingi tu za kimuziki akakataa. Basi tukakaa muda mpaka baada ya miaka mitatu, kulivofika muda wa Konzanians nikajaribu na Master J ambaye ndo tulianza naye. Sasa Master J akasema hapana. Tena alicheka akasema wewe bwana, sema wewe sijui unavuta bangi gani wewe. Na ilikuwa wewe hata kwenye group watu walikuwa sema hii bora utafanya mwenyewe, watu wote wanaambia hii utafanya mwenyewe. Basi sasa tukakaa tumeendelea. Kwa hiyo ilikuwa hiyo ya mwanzo, lakini tukafanya nyimbo nyingine zote. Sasa kuna siku peke yake Master J akaijaribu ile, alivyojaribu kusample alikuwa anatumia Atari, ni old computer software ya sound, very very small computer anatumia. Sasa kwenye Atari alivyojaribu ile ikakubali kusample ile guitar, na alivyojaribu akaweka drum pattern ambayo tumemwambia aweke na bassline fulani. Basi alivyojaribu akanisikilizisha, mimi kaipenda na watu wote wakaja kuipenda. Lakini kabla kusikilizisha wote, kitu ambayo imefanya Msafiri kuwa interesting ni kwamba alimsikilizisha baba yake kabla hatujaweka neno wala sauti. Babake alivyosikia alipenda sana. Sasa Jay alikuwa, sitaki kutoka nje topic, lakini Jay alikuwa wana matatizo na baba yake kwa sababu yeye alisomea mambo ya engineering, ya mambo awe engineer wa kitu kingine kabisa, sio muziki. Baba yake alikuwa in the music, kwa hiyo baba yake alikuwa hataki je afanye mambo ya muziki. Kwa hiyo siku ile baba yake alivyosikia ile instrumento ya kwanza ya Msafiri, ndio matatizo yao yaliisha pale, wakarudi kuelewana. Kwa hiyo Msafiri ikageuka ikawa nyimbo ambayo wote tukaipenda. K nakumbuka, D-Rob na wengine wote tulivyokuja kusikia, kila mtu akawa amependa sana, tukaanza kuandika. Kwa hiyo ni kitu ambacho kilileta msisimko mkubwa kwenye kundi.
Okay. And so were you guys the first ones to start to like use like Tanzanian music as for your beats to rhyme over Tanzanian music?
Ndio, ni sisi wa kwanza.
That was the first like local musician sample, like Tanzanian sample. And even the art of sampling itself, because previously when we started, we used to jack for beats. So we would say any other, any, you just take the instrumentals, you just go to the club, ask for the instrumental, ask for the mic, and you rock. And when the production started, I don't know, but for the first album, there was no samples at all. It was DJ Bonilove was just with the keyboard, and he was trying to come off with the beats off the Casio keyboard and whatnot. And I think the second album as well, Soundcrafters, there was no samples. It was just creating from the scratch. And then for the third album, we started using samples, and that's one of the biggest tracks where we use the local sample like that. So we introduced that idea that we can sample our own OG, and yeah, so I brought Ramson for that. And really, he should have got the credit on that, but yeah, you know, that's big. I didn't want to sing on that, by the way, man. He forced me to sing on a song.
Well, that's one of my favorite songs. Yeah. One of my favorite KU songs. It's like it's a classic.
Yeah, Ramson has a remix where I think you should hear it. It's dope. I'm planning on, actually, I'm probably going to perform it in Zanzibar in 2 weeks, I think. In 2 weeks. And
Safi.
Performing the same, yeah, I'll be performing the same stage with Akua Nara.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, you know. Hopefully she's gonna like that song, so we're gonna do
Akua Nara?
Yeah, I think Akua Nara. She's this lady, she does poetry, she's amazing, man.
Safi, okay. Safi. Zanzibar kuna nini mzee? Ni busara?
No, it's not busara. It's just Zanzibar is really appreciative of like local artists, and so they have different establishment invite artists from all over the country just to go and perform and, you know, motivating the culture.
Safi sana.
All right, so the kind of just a couple final questions, mainly looking at hip hop culture now in Tanzania. So both of you are still very, very active in the hip hop scene. Even when you guys, whether you're physically in Tanzania or not, you guys have always been vocal in terms of what's going on in hip hop. You've always kind of been there to, you know, speak on some of the things that some of the younger artists are doing. And so when you look at kind of the hip hop culture in Tanzania, what do you think is kind of the state of hip hop culture in Tanzania? Because one of the reasons I'm asking this question is that there have been a couple of times I've been talking to hip hop heads in other countries, and they're like, yeah, you know, Tanzania used to have this, you know, we used to always hear about hip hop in Tanzania. We used to always kind of, you know, hear all these really dope guys coming out of Tanzania. But now lately, and part of the problem is, of course, you know, that whole Bongo Flavor thing. But what do you think is kind of going on with hip hop now in Tanzania? Why do you think it may not be kind of as international as maybe it once was?
I think on my point of view, because I'm sure Jamal would have his views about it, but now that I'm on the ground here and see how things operate, the music industry here really affects a lot of these great artists, because it's a business, so it's different from when we where we were doing it. What we were doing is more like just going on the passion and like, you know, like it was all about the culture, and we're trying to know more about the culture. We're trying to rep the culture on our side of things. But right now, yes, you have people going for the culture, but the business is getting involved, and everybody wants to make that make these expressions onto a product and a product to reap the benefits of it. And I think that's where things change. And you don't get as much content as maybe the earlier Mr. Two albums where he was just talking about the hills. So most fans used to gravitate to that. That was kind of like you know when they say hip hop is a ghetto CNN.
Mm.
Right now, yeah. So that was that then. It was nothing about it. There was no business around it. There was no business or any kind of useful music from Tanzania. People just doing what they love, and some people on the radio used to play it, but right now people know when they play on the radio that's money, and there's a lot of everything is most everything is business right now, and that really messes up the activism and things of that nature that used to be the on top of the list for the hip hop movement in Tanzania back then.
Okay.
Mimi Pia, mi naona sawasawa nilivyosema K, na pia kwa sababu sasa hivi dunia na mawasiliano imebadilika, imesababisha kwamba ile nguvu ya vyombo vya habari na ile tasnia nzima industry imekuwa inaweka mkazo kwenye biashara kuliko vitu vingine. Sasa kwa upande wa hip hop, kwa sababu Tanzania hip hop ndio ilianza kabla ya hii ambayo imefika Bongo Flava. Sasa Bongo Flava imechukua nafasi, na si kama wasanii wenye kufanya hip hop wapo mpaka leo, na kuna vitu vinaendelea pale, wanarekodi, wana kama wewe umeenda kwenye Kilinge na nini au Shika Kinasa na vitu vinaendelea, lakini sasa havipati nafasi ya kutosha kwa sababu radio na vyombo vya habari vimetoa tu nafasi zaidi kwa Bongo Flava na vitu vingine ambavyo ni vya kibiashara na kuliko hip hop na ujumbe wake wa kijamii. Lakini watu wawili watatu kama Fiti bado wanawakilisha. Kwa hiyo pia tunaweza kushukuru kwamba iko katika nafasi ndogo, lakini haijaondoka kabisa.
Yeah, I mean like what anaweza kwa watu watatu wanawakilisha, and you know some few people will represent based on their own passion, but trust me, you know, and there's a lot of funners as well, you know, because I call it state to state, you know me, man. There's a lot of funners, like, on the way they themselves, they portray, like, you know, they're hip-hop activists, but when, you know, when things get real and you have to play that part, they fold. They don't really, you know, stand up there for the culture. They asking for money, you know?
Right,
yeah,
right.
I'm not going to call out people dropping names, but these are the same people who are, when you say hip hop Tanzania, people will call these names, and then they won't, like, you know, put themselves on their lives on the line for the culture, or like really fight hard for the culture. You know, there've been situations where I was just alone. I'm like, okay, I must be the only one who cares about the culture. Everybody's all about business, you know. But I mean, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle, but you know, how long is it going to be that? And what are you teaching the kids who don't know? I'm always just trying to learn the culture. It's a little business, and what, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, people outside are worrying, like, okay, where is that? Because I remember in the 90s, well, as far as Africa goes, the countries that were on the front line of African hip-hop was Senegal and Tanzania. And
So let me ask this, because one of the things in looking at politics in Africa, you definitely see, like in North Africa and in Senegal and even in South Africa, where the artists have spoken out against the politicians and have been really, really critical of the politicians, whereas in Tanzania, you'll have a hip-hop artist that will talk about corruption, but then perform at a campaign rally for a political party. So I don't, I'm trying to understand.
But that one, that, mm-hmm. Okay, that one is kind of tricky. I'll explain this one. Because whenever it comes to elections on an African or any on any African continent, you will have two sides. Okay, because mm-hmm. there's always a most of the time, it's like two parties, whether you're on the main party or you're on opposition party, or it's one or two or three. And all of these people will have people to follow them because they have members. So one of them, some of their members will be artists. So they will pledge allegiance to whoever they support. Mm-hmm. That's one. Another thing is the money factor, because it's big business for them. And the radios don't look out for it. They don't take care of them. But they can play the music and use their content. They don't pay them. The copyright situation in Tanzania is still very, very, very backward. We're fighting for that right now. But obviously, you won't hear that on any media because they're the guys who we're trying to put on check and make sure that the artists benefit from their royalties for the content that's being used. And the third part is that even the promoters, show business is not the biggest business because most of these media houses, mm-hmm. they're the ones who are doing the biggest festivals. So a small-time promoter who just cares about hip-hop only won't even get sponsors because even companies will look or who has the best ratings, the biggest radio, or who has the most artists. So it all comes down to the business. And these artists, they pay a lot to record their songs, so they will need at least to get something back. And they can either get that on that festival, the biggest, maybe two big festivals in a year, and they both belong to different big media companies. It's not enough. You have millions of artists. Mm-hmm. So when the political parties come and approach them, they approach like, okay, all we need you to do is to just come entertain, we can pay you this much. So to them, even though they are so passionate about what they do, and maybe some of them don't even support the person, but to them it's just business. You need entertainers to entertain people at the rally. The guy was like, okay, I'll do it. You pay me. I'm not going to say no to money. So outside, they look bad, of course. Here you go talking about corruption, and then you go supporting politicians. And some of them even wear the stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, like if they say no to the money, you look at them like they're stupid. If they say yes, but business runs everything at the moment. And now you don't hear most of those kind of songs where people are, you know, putting politicians in check because of the powers that be. People are quite powerful. So some people are not worried about being, you know, getting into trouble. But it's different. It's not the freedom of speech in Africa is not that, you know, that safe. I would actually say so. You know, you need to watch who you talk to and what you say. It's sad, but that's the truth. You know?
Okay. Now, what about the artists? I know Tanzania is, I'm not sure if they're the first, but they're one of the first countries where a hip hop artist has actually won a political seat. So now you've got two hip-hop artists that have political seats. You have, you know, other musicians who have, you know, run or tried to run or talked about running. Do you think
and
that...
We got a bunch of hip-hop fans, like really big hip-hop fans in there who just don't want to say that they're hip-hop fans. And whenever we do shows, they show up and they show support. So, yeah, hip-hop is really winning out here on a political side of things.
But do you think that being in politics gives the artist an opportunity to kind of do something about the things that they've built their careers rapping about?
Yes, that rightfully so. It should be that way, but unfortunately, I haven't seen anything of sorts. I haven't seen any of those brothers really do something major to help the culture or the artists, right? So far, met up with met up with Sugu, we spoke about it a little bit, but I understand where they're coming from. They from the opposition party, and they're trying to, they have a lot of fights with the major party. So I cannot say I know how it is in there, but it's tough. So I can imagine, like, plugging in the artist is not that easy, but they should, man, because we put them up there, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, I think also kuongezea hapo, labda pengine ni ngumu kwao kuingiza mambo ya mziki na sanaa. Huenda wanaingiza, labda mimi sifuatilii vya kutosha bungeni. Ila najua juzi, kama mwezi uliopita hivi, Sugu alisimama imara sana kuhusiana na swala la uraia wa Tanzania wanaoishi nje. Manake kuna matatizo yametokea sasa hivi, wanataka kuzuia Watanzania ambao ni raia wa nchi nyingine kama Marekani, Uingereza, Canada na kwingine. Ukienda Tanzania uwezi kuwa Mtanzania, uwezi kuwa na nyumba au ardhi, wanataka kuzuia kila kitu. Kwa hiyo wewe ukiacha Utanzania unakuwa ni mgeni na unakuwa uwezi kuwa na kitu chochote pale nyumbani. Kwa hiyo Sugu amesimama na anaendelea kupigania jambo kama hilo, na inaonekana ni kutokana na ile kufahamu mambo yanayoendelea kuhusu wabongo waliosafiri na kuishi nje na nini. Ni kitu kimoja wapo nadhani amesimamia. Yeah, uraia pacha.
Yeah, that's a big complex. Yeah, I mean, everybody has their own views. But what about the artist? Because I understand where Professor T is coming from. That, I'm not taking anything away from that, you know. But what about the artist? This is his second term, and you know, I also question myself. I mean, nothing against him, but you have to wonder, like, why are we? Because at the moment I'm fighting the bout about the copyright. Even the Copyright Act needs to be amended. There's so many things, and they should be the ones who's motivating us to fight for that. But it's just cricket so far. I don't see them they fighting for that. I think, like, you know, once they get there, maybe they. Anyway, like, that's just me, man. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not saying people get sensitive when you touch them.
Can you talk about the copyright thing? Because I don't think, like, a lot of folks would know about that. Could you just talk about what you mean?
The Copyright Act in Tanzania so far is not in favor of artists' royalties. Artists don't even get performance rights royalties. Their songs are being used in business areas, being played in public. They don't get a cent from that. They have one authority, that's a government authority, that manages all the rights, the copyright, whether it's mechanical rights, whether it's publishing rights, synchronization rights, which is quite backwards. Not every artist is a member of that organization. They don't send any reports, and basically, in a nutshell, the government doesn't know much about the copyright and royalty industry. So that's why we're fighting to get the Copyright Act amended so that it will be beneficial for the artist. So whenever they make these compositions and write, everyone can benefit. You can imagine all these songs are not just, you might hear a song from Zavala, but maybe Master J wrote the beat, so so we've sent a request so far to ask for the amendments to be done, and we're trying to educate most artists about these rights, because and this authority was supposed to educate artists about it, but the only thing they focus on is just to get money from the artists to register them, which is also backwards. How do you make an artist pay the government authority money just to get an identification as an artist? In order for you to be identified as an artist, you have to pay them. And they claim they do collect these royalties, but nobody ever heard of the money, where they never receive anything, never receive any report. So it's just like pulling the wool over the artist's eyes. They don't educate them. The dumb they get, that the better to them, I think. So, and that's why I'm questioning those artists who are in parliament, why they don't fight for things like that. Because, as you know, royalty is a big business, and it will bring a lot of revenue to the government. And but we're in the thick of it. We're fighting, so you know, hopefully, God willing, you know, the amendments will be passed, and people will benefit more. Because speaking of funds, we never benefited from this music, and we just planted the seed. The albums were never sold, and you can imagine if we were to get royalties for just maybe Msafiri, you know, we will be sitting with a big check every month. But you know, since they don't have that kind of system here, you know.
Yeah. Crazy. All right, let me ask, what about the, I know a lot of people have been concerned with kind of new censorship laws in terms of what people can and can't say. Do you, or against the government, do you think them cracking down on censorship will also impact kind of artists feeling like they're free to talk about politics in their songs?
I mean, to talk about stuff is not, they don't question much about it, but it's been more about, I know you're talking about, what do they call it? I think the media act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bad, right?
Yeah.
The screening. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I'll wait and see, but so far here, I see them like monitoring the videos, what comes out, you know. They have this thing they say Mahdi, you know, on the bottom Mahdi, which is also questionable because it's kind of blocking the expression. Because if people want to express themselves, and we know what kind of lifestyle, different kind of lifestyle people live in a country like this, where you have 25 regions, and in one region you could find even four tribes living different customs. You know, so how are you going to say a girl dressed up in a tight shirt is worse than a Maasai who's dressed up in Lubega, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those kind of things, it's, you know, still education is needed, and there's no art appreciation at all, and it's very, very, very low. The only people who appreciate art are those who either are artists themselves or so. It's misinformation from those who are even on the art council, you know. But, you know, day by day, educating, we let them know that we're not happy. And I think they're only focused on just the money. And
okay.
But it's scary. I know what you're saying. It's scary because everyone, man, it's like this is just Basata. It's the government act that... the Information Act, I think. There's a lot that's coming, that's changing, where everything is screened. They probably screened it before by now. And, yeah, man, it's scary. Because now people used to criticize the government most of the time. Now it's calmed down. And so it kind of raises the question, well, okay, so you're not allowed to critique or, you know, it's crazy. But we artists, and we have our ways of, you know, talking. If they catch up to it, fine. But then again, on the bright side, you have some of the kids who really don't know much about art. Not they know much about art, but they're on the imitation kind of vibe, where they see Lil Wayne with his video, where the ladies are dropping it like it's hot. They think that's the coolest thing. So they will do the video regardless of what they're saying. And they'll have a bunch of girls there dropping it like, I just saw a new video, one of Diamond's artists. He literally has some sisters in a bathtub with nothing on it completely, and just covering only a certain part with a plaster or something like that, which is really foul for the sisters. I mean, how you disrespect your sisters like that? And that's the positive side, that they're banning stuff like that. They will shut you down. And but a lot of education is needed, both sides, on the government side, on the artist side. But I just hope you will be the right person to educate, because there's a lot of stereotype of what the artist is and what they should do. And then again, it comes in the way of expression. As an artist, you're supposed to express yourself how you feel and how you see. Here comes a person who's just a person behind the desk who knows nothing about art, but it's been given a job trying to tell you how to express yourself, which I really think is really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ni mbaya sana sasa hivi.
Yeah.
Eh, tena ile sielewi hata watu wa sijui watu wameipokeaje, maana ile tayari kuna watu wengi wamekamatwa nasikia Tanzania hata kabla hiyo sheria, kuna watu wameongea kitu tofauti na
the ones that... Yeah, the ones that been locked up, they like they government critics. Some of them are government critics. So you know, let's not act like we all goody goody. Some people have foul mouths, and some people don't know what to say to who. And you know, we have some kids who have no respect. It just goes, they don't know better, and they've been not raised right. You know, and so they think just having a foul mouth is a cool thing. So, yeah, you have those. So I'm not going to ask you here and act like everyone is innocent and boo, whoopie, whoopie, woo. You know? So it works both ways. I'm not supporting it, but sometimes it's needed.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if you guys think there's something maybe I missed that you guys want to talk about, because those were the main questions that I had and things that I kind of wanted to cover.
Mi labda nataka ni guse sehemu fulani ambayo hatukuigusia, ambayo ilikuwa nzuri sana katika kuamsha hip hop na kufanya ikubalike. Kipindi cha sisi kuwa tunakwenda disco, kabla mambo ya kurekodi, Boni kama DJ alitoa fursa nzuri sana. Alianza kuwa anawapa au kina K, baadaye wakaja kuingia kina Adili na wengine. Sasa hiyo ni kitu ambayo imebadilisha kabisa sura ya hip hop, kwa sababu mwanzoni nafasi kama zile zinapatikana ukienda kwenye picnic kama alivyosema, graduation na nini na nini, lakini kwenye disco mjini pale club ilikuwa hamna maonyesho. Lakini ni pale ambapo Boni alikuwa anatoa mic, K anachana, anatoa mic, baadaye Adili anachana, ndio wale watu wa karibu sana wa muziki ambao wa kila Ijumaa wako pale wakaanza kuona live kabisa, inawekwa record, Boni anafanya cuts afu jamaa anachana. Sasa ile ni eneo fulani la hip hop ambalo ni kama stepping stone, jiwe la kukanyagia kupeleka baadaye mawazo ya kurekodi radio na nini, kwa sababu ile ilivyoona watu wanivyopokea ile maonyesho pale ndio ilileta sio tu hamasa kwa sisi na kwa Clouds ambao ndio wamiliki wa ile disco, na wao ndio maana wakawa rahisi sisi kuwashawishi wao kuweka hata recording studio, na hiyo ndio imepelekea mambo mengine baadaye. Lakini hiyo watu wengi hawafahamu. Caleb anaweza kuongezea kuhusu hiyo.
Yeah man, I mean showing support to the culture was great. That was a great support. But Boni was the homie, so yeah, but Boni, DJ Boni Love was the homie, and he's always crucial on authenticity. So if he knows that you know something, he will support you. What's lacking right now, and I think it comes with the development. Right now, you have a lot of kids who are really good. You have actually it's kind of going 360 now. You have a group of kids who now they express themselves in English again.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they, because there's a lot of Swahili rappers right now. And it's one thing that really used to bother me, because even though I can rhyme in Swahili, but I'm an advocate of someone just express yourself however you want, whether you rhyme in Chinese, whether you rhyme in Japanese or African, or just do it the way you want it, the way you feel. And I've been not invested, but like I taught myself how to rhyme in English, and I enjoy it myself. I'm a fan first, and sometimes I can write a line and be like, "Ooh, that was fire," or I can hear a line and be like, "Ooh, that was fire. Someone's gonna like that," and that will be in English. So to see that going away for there's so many years where MCs who are doing it in English or who can write in English were shunned away. Because of just the pride of having Swahili rhymers, or great Swahili rhymers, which is a great thing, but I don't think like it should stop those who can write in English and express themselves. Because nowadays, the way we talk, we talk both languages. The kids who speak half Swahili, half English, and even Swahili itself has many words, some English, some Arabic, some Bantu words. So I'm kind of happy that you have kids who are confident that they'll do whatever they like. They can speak in English, and next tomorrow they'll do a Swahili song, and they're good in both, so it's great. But nowadays there are many ways to put things out. So people have YouTube, WhatsApp. I mean, the technology is so advanced, they don't need nobody anymore. Yeah. You know, they don't need their DJ to put them on. Yeah, they just put them on themselves. They do their website. You know, next thing you know, they're platinum on YouTube, but you don't even know their name, you know? So it's great. And I'm just thankful, like, it's this big, because out of what we started or what we followed up, we, you know, trying to do the hip-hop culture, in the middle of that, some people wanted to do the same. And the accident gave birth to Bongo Flava. And Bongo Flava is a huge thing right now. You know, the toughest artist, you cannot hire him unless you have like $5,000 and up, like a show. You're talking timer, like it's a huge old Ali Key, but it's a huge big business. So, I mean, I don't have to do a record, you know. Like the seed I planted is helping some kids go to school, do business and whatever. I'm good, you know. So it's something to be proud of, yeah.
Yeah, hata mimi ni kweli anasema kei hali imebadilika na shukuru sana kwamba kitu ambacho niliingia tu nikawa nafanya kwa sababu ya furaha na mapenzi kimeweza kuwa kikubwa, kimenufaisha watu. Sio tu watu mmoja mmoja wasanii mtaani, lakini imetengeneza imekuwa tasnia kabisa. Tasnia ni industry. Ambapo,
especially in a place like this where unemployment is so high. Now kids are just employing themselves doing art. You know, it's great.
Studios, radio stations, kila kitu hawa watu wote save videos, nini. Kwa tumetengeneza nafasi au fursa ambayo ungetegemea serikali ingewaza hilo jambo. Sitaki kusema serikali ije tushike mkono mimi na K na watu wengine, ah bwana nyie ndo weka sanamu yenu pale. Si lazima. Lakini tu wafanye watoe tu nafasi ile kwa iwe structure ambayo watu wanaendelea kupata manufaa ya kazi wanayofanya, na wasiwekee kwa mfano hiyo mambo ya BASATA. Ni matatizo kabisa kusema eti watu walipe BASATA. BASATA inatakiwa itengeneze fursa za kuwasaidia wasanii.
What I would like to advise, though, like for the people in for our fellow brothers and sisters in the diaspora, right? We have struggles with things like this. Like we have struggled with the Art Council. I don't know how. I'm trying to figure out how we can get maybe the International Art Council via the diaspora, like to do researches, or maybe to come and do workshops from other Art Council and see to just educate how we're supposed to work. The copyrights and royalties workshops and things of that nature, just to make sure the industry here, since now that we have an industry, but it's not on a proper structure. We need a proper structure where people can actually know where their money is and everything. Like, just if it's a job or it's a career, it has to be done properly. You can imagine if you're a lawyer and you go fight for people's case and then you don't get a dime, you know, how come a lawyer can get their money but a musician cannot get his money? So, but the biggest thing is education. They really don't know. You have, you know, ministers and they don't know how it works. To them, it's something new. So you cannot blame them. How do you blame somebody who doesn't know about your world? You know, so
now, I think now, what I people find out
now is education. Yeah, all I'm saying is, like, I don't know about karate, you know? So let's say I don't know karate, I know crazy. So, but unless the karate people tell me that it's healthy for me or it's good for me, I wouldn't know, you know? And everybody's busy with their life. So it's us first. We need to find a way to educate and, you know, get whatever help that we can get for those who are in art or music and, those who love to support that, yeah, it's our duty, really, like to the same way we did it back then. They didn't care about hip hop then. They didn't know what it is at all. We don't want to support them, yeah. Mm. So yeah, man, you know.
Yeah, like, and you come out of that bay.
Have to run, man. I have to catch a bus. It's like 10 in the evening right now, and
it's
kind of rough.
Okay.
Huh? What is this?
Kinondoni, man.
Ma Kino, boss, unatembea tu bwacha bwana.
Yo, Kino is rough right now, man.
Haiwezekani. Kwenda pale home, au unaenda Mbezi?
Kinondoni can jack the OG with the quickness, man. Talk about it tomorrow. You'll be on Instagram knocked out.
All right, guys, I know you got to go, okay? So I just want to say thank you. I don't think I ever told you how much you guys influenced me getting into hip hop in terms of research, because it was like talking to you
when
guys.
When are you coming home, man? Come on now.
I'm coming this summer.
When are you coming home?
This summer.
Summer? Right, when you coming home, everybody's asking about you, man. Everybody, everywhere I go, it's like, where is Ramson? They don't even know Dr. Shabar, they're asking Ramson. So, yeah, but what's beautiful though, I get a lot of love, man. I didn't know that there's so many Kwanzaa Uni fans who still asking, and they're still asking. I mean, like, just the whole era back then, man, I've just been asked, like, half an hour before you called, I was getting grilled about Kwanzaa Uni, when are you guys dropping this and that. I'm like, yo, I'm too old to be dropping anything.
I can't be too old, man. Come on, Mzee Kiki is still singing. We'll be rhyming for the next 50 years.
Right. Okay, guys. Thank you again. And I, you know, yeah. Thank you. Okay.
We run things, so fast, some boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. We run things, so fast, some boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. We run things, so fast, some boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. We run things, so fast, some boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. Got you in your area, rap my hysteria. Tis a wishing I was not, cause it ain't none here. I run things like a thing runner. What's love got to do like Tim and Tunner? My blood is red, man, so I can't wait to gym like Michael. The crew is mad vibe like Jackson, so it's us and I can zoom. Give me room, I be talking to my blood selling disease about the suckers. They call them kid crackers, phenomenal. Rap professional, you front, you go, I got the show. Pick the mic and blow, shine like a rainbow. And yo, my rap style changes these days. I'm a the blast as easy as rays. I be rhyming, son. See, but why you take your medicine? Fresh is going crazy. Represent one thing, check 1, 2, 3. In the place to be. Yes, it's me, the D, the son of the Kwanzaa. Word and ones a rap, young millionaire. If you thought you got some, boy, there's nothing here. Get it right clear through your eardrum. Well, I be a bum. Run things, let my brothers come with no doubt. And I'm out to run things, run it. We're on things, so fast, and boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. We're on things, so fast, and boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. We're on things, so fast, and boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash. We're on things, so fast, and boom blast, I'm trying to get some cash.
No retreat, no surrender, ender, hoping no contenders, no agendas. Raise your pen, get the paper, bring the pain. Take numb to this. To be forever infamous. White Fang and Baby on promotion committee. KBC responsibility is over all the fake MCs. D-R-O-B, he's a requisition. You pointed to Steve to that position. More funds provided for the keys with centric mission. Phrase deal will soon join us. He's on the final touch on his research. He is your issue, talking shit that issue. Steve read the manuscript and such will perfect it. Next conference, all the members of foundation show what it means, having strong hip-hop nation. That's just a part of other side of story. God's glory, construction under progress. If you were me, what would you call this project? As far as I'm concerned, just stay entitled. No one can take us under. Forever Kwanzaa, you and IT, running things like they supposed to be.
We run things so fast. Some boom blasts, I'm trying to get some cash. We run things so fast. Some boom blasts, I'm trying to get some cash. We run things so fast. Some boom blasts, I'm trying to get some cash. We run things so fast. Some boom blasts, I'm trying to get some cash. Open your eyes, be wise. Come follow me to the journey as I take you, son. You will be surprised. Yeah, we down bump it. Even if society doesn't like it, life knows I break. I made a book. This come read these words for salaries. I bring luxuries. So listen up, G's. You ain't getting none of these shillings to chillings. Off my round feelings, things I'm running. We run things so fast. Some boom blasts are trying to get some cash. We're on things so fast, some boom blasts are trying to get some cash. We're on things so fast, some boom blasts are trying to get some cash. We're on things so fast, some boom blasts want to get the cash, baby.
Hakuna kulala mimi moto leta kukoda neta saba kama nasakoda shauri tani. wa huku nchini Rwanda. Hebu tunukuu juzuu za OAU moja Afrika yote tuombe toba. Epusha vyumbe na mabomu ya ardhini Angola. Ee Mola, ee Mola, Mashud Abiola, haki yake wapi? Kwame Nkrumah, Steve Biko, kitunganishi hipwa, wanasiasa wanaangamiza. Swala hili nanitatiza, dunia yote najiuliza, so why? Hivi kwa nini wasio hatia wanapoteza uhai?
Afrika, Afrika we.
Hivi kwa nini usiniulize mijiulize wewe? Hivi kwa nini tumwage damu yetu si wenyewe? Nasikitisha na tatanisha, yo kama shanyendo hivi Afrika tutafika mwisho wa safari. Bara hili kuelimisha, sasa tupatane tupendane, yo kwa nini tupigane sababu ya wachache? Kama ni basi aache amani iwe juu na silaha nazo ziachwe, tutunze bara hili Afrika tufaidike, vita na maovu tuepuke, walokufa tukumbuke, milio ya risasi na mabomu isisikike, waasi wafichuke na macho ya Afrika yafunguke, amani ipanuke Afrika yote, viongozi tukutane tuongee swala kwa wote. Damu imemwagika ya kuchosha, mizinga iliporushwa, watu wakafa njaa, wengine kukosa jamaa, wakimbizi wamezagaa, hakuna kwa kukimbilia, watoto wanalia, wasio na hatia naangamia. Mungu hatasaidia kama tutaonesha njia, onesha njia.
Afrika, Afrika, wewe. Afrika, Afrika, yo.
Afya, maisha marefu, Nyerere, Mzee Mandela. Nipo ndani ya stimela naelekea KwaZulu, tarudi Nigeria na kuamuru FIS waika chini tutu, watoto dogo vitani marufuku.
Amani na upendo vionyeshe kwa matendo, Afrika tatulia. Hivi kwa nini? Jiulize mara mbili tena kwa makini. Afrika nini? Nani jenzi taifa teule? Kama si mimi, wewe au yule, utu umetoweka, jamii inateseka. Ona hali hii inavyojionyesha, wakimbizi wanatoweka Rwanda, Urundi kwa makundi.
AFRICA kama sikosei, wote ndugu tokea Enugu, Abidjan kusini kwa Sudan, Somalia pendo sambai hadi Liberia. Hivi kwa nini sio hatia unapoteza uhai?
Afrika, Afrika, wewe. Afrika, Afrika, yo. Kwa nini tuane mimi nawe?